New sanctions against North Korea's missile builders, and Barack Obama has a warning about the dangers of the internet.
People can have entirely different realities. They can be just cocooned in information that reinforces their current biases.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Marie Keyworth, in for Anu Anand. Good morning. Throughout the year, we've been reporting on increasing efforts by both the US and the international community to curb North Korea's nuclear ambitions by punishing the country economically. Last week, the United Nations issued even more stringent sanctions meant to restrict North Korea's access to refined oil. Now the US has placed sanctions on two North Korean officials for their role in the country's missile program. The BBC's Sophie Long has more from Seoul.
The US Treasury said both men are key figures in North Korea's development of ballistic missiles. Ri Pyong-chul is reported to be a former Air Force general and Kim Jong-sik, a veteran rocket scientist. Both are believed to have been hand-picked by the North Korean leader and are often photographed next to Kim Jong-un at missile launches. They were among 16 North Koreans placed under UN sanctions on Friday, imposed after Pyongyang tested a missile it said could reach anywhere on the US mainland. The United States says these extra sanctions are part of their maximum pressure campaign to isolate North Korea and achieve a denuclearized Korean peninsula.
The BBC's Sophie Long in Seoul. Let's do the numbers. Markets in Asia were mixed. South Korea's KOSPI index closed up 9 points, or 0.38%. Shares in Hyundai Heavy Industries, the world's biggest shipbuilder by sales, plunged more than 20% after it announced a plan to try to raise more money from markets. Here in London, the FTSE is up 12 points, or 0.16%. As members of the global elite, Barack Obama and Prince Harry might have a lot in common, but one thing they don't share, clearly, is a fondness for Twitter. Mr. Obama's account has nearly 100 million followers, and Prince Harry, well, he doesn't have an account at all. But this didn't stop the two from discussing social media when they sat down for a rare interview for the BBC. Here's what the former president had to say.
In the United States in particular, we have a very strong First Amendment. As a former constitutional lawyer, pretty firm about the merits of free speech. And the question, I think, really has to do with how do we harness this technology in a way that allows a multiplicity of voices, allows a diversity of views, but doesn't lead to a balkanization of our society, but rather continues to promote ways of finding common ground. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure government can legislate that, but what I do believe is that all of us in leadership have to find ways in which we can recreate a common space on the internet. Mm-hmm. One of the dangers of the internet is that people can have entirely different realities. They can be just cocooned in information that reinforces their current biases. One of the things we want to do, I think, is as we're working with young people to build up platforms for social change, make sure that they don't think just sending out a hashtag in and of itself is bringing about change. It can be a powerful way to raise awareness, but then you have to get on the ground and you actually have to do something.
Barack Obama speaking to Prince Harry. In some parts of Midtown Manhattan, the New York Times is reporting that you can't pay in cash. From coffee shops to restaurants, credit cards are the way of the future. But what might seem like a novelty in New York is actually becoming more of a reality across the world. The shift away from using cash in day-to-day transactions has been gathering pace in places from sub-Saharan Africa to Sweden. But nowhere is the transformation happening faster than in China. The BBC's Ed Butler has been to Hangzhou to see the Chinese cashless revolution unfold.
The numbers are really staggering. $5.5 trillion worth of transactions in China are now conducted using mobile phones. That's 50 times more than the equivalent in the US. Listen to this student, Cindy. She hasn't touched a coin or a note in more than a year, buying everything through her mobile. In some shops, she can now even use her face.
This is K-Pro, a version of KFC for those familiar with that international chicken retailer. And this is not just online payments. This is facial recognition payment. So we are going to step forward now and buy some food using Cindy's face.
Yeah.
We've stepped up to this screen. It looks like a large smartphone. Do you know what you want to buy?
Yeah, I want to buy a salad.
And this is the facial recognition part. She looks up at the camera and it ticks. It's literally your face is your code.
It's amazing. I think it's quite funny.
You like it?
Yeah.
Let's be honest, Cindy, you could have done that just as quickly using your mobile phone, right?
Yeah.
So it's just a gimmick?
I don't think so. I think it's the future. I think the young people would like to use the face to order food or do anything else.
Matt Brennan is a British consultant in China. He says that the two companies dominating the mobile payment scene, Alipay and Tencent, are subsidising this digital market and transforming retail.
Data that these guys are getting from, you know, all these transactions is coming straight to them. They're not actually right now sharing that data with anyone. Data's the new oil, right? So that alone is incredibly valuable.
So will the likes of Apple and Facebook achieve the same reach in Western countries? It's hard to say, but concerns over safety and snooping may have to be overcome first. In Hangzhou, China, I'm the BBC's Ed Butler for Marketplace.
And finally, in case you were in any doubt at all, the rich are still getting richer. The world's wealthiest added $1 trillion to their collective bank accounts in 2017, more than four times last year's gain. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos was the biggest winner, seeing a $34 billion increase to his net worth. In London, I'm Marie Keyworth, in for Anu Anand, with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.